But first, I'd like to welcome you guys to Entertainment Corner.
Well, looky here.
This is something we do from time to time, and since everybody's been staying at home more and Netflix viewing has been going through the roof and Amazon Prime and whatnot, I thought I'd review a couple of shows, and one in particular. But first, I want to mention a program that was made in Italy. And so most of this program is subtitled because it takes place in Italy and in Mexico, a little bit in New Orleans, but it's called 000, and it was recommended to me by a P1 because I mentioned a couple weeks ago I was looking for a new series. It's 8 parts, and it's on Amazon Prime. This is a must-watch. It is Breaking Bad meets The Godfather, meets Narcos. It is incredible, and it's about the process, the story of drug traffickers, big cocaine dealers in Mexico using these intermediaries in New Orleans, this family of Americans, to get their cocaine to this syndicate, this mob syndicate in Italy. And when I first saw that there's going to be a lot of subtitles, that beat me down a little bit, but you get past that very quickly. There's plenty of English too. There are some actors that you might recognize, like Gabriel Byrne, but for the most part, it's people you've never seen before. A lot of the stars don't even have their own Wikipedia page, which tells you how low profile they are. But since it's made in Italy, there are all these beautiful scenes from the hills of Italy. It is a really great watch if you like Breaking Bad, Narcos, Godfather type stuff. The way it combines them all, the way it tells the story, there's definitely some violence, so you got to brace for that. But all of it is shot in New Orleans, in Monterey, in Cambria. So you've got this feel that you are in the middle of it. So I highly recommend 000 on Amazon.
Okay.
The other show, while it's not as well done, it's still interesting, and this is just a one episode thing. It's about an hour long. Have you guys, because it pops up a lot on the Netflix menu, have you guys watched or heard of the Rain Man twins?
No.
All right, this is worth a watch because it's about the world's only female autistic savant twins, Flo and Kay Lyman. And they are right now about 65 years old.
Okay.
And the story is, as they've talked to these memory experts, they are memory savants. So, you know, we've had Mary Lou Henner on the program before, the Hollywood actress who's a memory savant.
Yeah, George thinks she's faking it.
You can ask her any day in her life, January 23rd, 1964, and she will say, it was snowy that day, I wore a green sweater to school, and we had meatballs for dinner. And there's another, you know, there are a lot of people like this. Jerry Lucas, the NBA Hall of Famer, is like that. He has his phone book trick where he can memorize a phone book and he can tell you anybody's number.
Incredible.
It's really unbelievable. So Flo and Kay Lyman.
Gosh, I'm the anti both.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ask me about last Wednesday, what I did.
Don't ask me about this morning. I couldn't pin down breakfast from this morning.
Seriously, most people are like that. These people are the exceptions. And Flo and Kay Lyman can tell you, so they got into music, for example, at a very early age.
Music.
Every single song written in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, they can tell you the title and the artist. Or, you know, the artist or the year.
Uh-huh.
You can say, for example, they ask them, Lady. And then they would say, and they're very Rain Man-ish in the way they speak. Lady, well, which version are you talking about? There are three versions. There was Kenny Rogers in 1979. There was so-and-so. And you know, they rattle it off. They know everything by heart. They, like Mary Lou Henner, can tell you about every day in their life. Okay, what happened July 13th, 1971? Oh, yes, that was the day that we went to so-and-so and so-and-so, and We had so-and-so for dinner, and Dad went to bed early, and blah, blah, blah. Now, they cannot really function in life outside of their amazing memory skills. They cannot live on their own.
Way to go, George.
They cannot be separated.
What's that on me?
They are savant twins, memory savant twins, but unable really to have a job, unable to do much outside of life. So,
well, yeah, because people are always making them do parlor tricks.
Well, that's part of it.
No wonder they can't have a job.
And they are all about routine, and that's how they've focused, and that's how they've gotten through every day. So they journal about a lot of this. They get obsessed with little things, and since they are at home all the time, they watch a lot of TV, and so they get obsessed with people on TV. One of them was this local reporter who they just loved. They just got obsessed with him, and they would write to him and call him, and they just wanted to meet him and all of this stuff, and he became friends with them.
Was it Mike Ducey?
It wasn't Mike Ducey. I can't remember what town they grew up in. But the other guy they got obsessed with, and this is where, while watching this documentary, my brain started to not be able to handle it because it felt like a mockumentary movie, you know, like, like Best in Show or something like that. So I'm going to play about 3 minutes here of the part where my brain started to act like, okay, this isn't real, because it sounds so Monty Python, SNL, mockumentary, I don't know. Part of it's because the narrator is British. And he's talking about how they, for their entire lives, have been obsessed with Dick Clark. And so they go to see him, but this, of course, isn't the first time that they've gone to see him. So you're going to hear them talking a little bit about Dick Clark. You'll hear about the journey out to California. You'll hear some of their friends and family comment about how they got to know Dick Clark. And at the very end of this, you'll hear them going to see Dick Clark at his house, and you'll actually hear Dick Clark's voice. Now, this was post his stroke. Mm-hmm. So Dick Clark didn't come out for the cameras, but they do have pictures with him over their lives with Dick Clark. So just listen to this and tell me if it doesn't make you a little crazy. You'll hear from the twins, and if you need to stop this, we can stop it at any moment.
But for now, they're looking forward to seeing Dick Clark, maybe for the last time.
We're in Balboa Beach, California, driving on Pacific Coast Highway. The only reason why we came out here to see Dick Clark and his wife, Carrie, and the dogs.
They have watched Dick Clark since they were little girls. They have kept track of everything in his life. Dick Clark has kind of been their almost televangelist, almost like a religious figure to them. And this is an opportunity for them to see him face to face.
But before going to see Dick Clark, the twins stop off at the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
The Jacksons? The Jacksons are related to Dick Clark. Really? Oh, fooey!
They've arrived at Dick Clark's shrine.
There is Dick Clark's star. There he is. Oh, Janie, if Janie was here, she would have loved this. Oh, I knew she's missing it all.
Ever since they were children, Flo and Kay have been writing to Dick Clark and calling him up. As they kneel by Dick Clark's star, they whistle the theme tune to the $100,000 pyramid.
Okay, pause it for a second, Craig.
What the hell's going on?
Doesn't this remind you of Ed Grimley's obsession with Pat Sajak?
Yes.
Martin Short's character.
A decent guy, I must say.
Yeah, just this random, not random, Dick Clark's incredibly famous, but just the fact that you latch on to that one guy, the way Ed Grimley latched on to Pat Sajak, of all people, they're just obsessed with Dick Clark.
Does their cadence remind you a little bit of Tony the Engineer?
I thought of Tony several times.
Yeah. Gordon holds up the sign that says that.
You know what? You know why I thought of him? Because Tony is like a savant, because he can recite all the Dancing with the Stars stuff, and it's the same cadence. I think Tony's has a little savant quality to him.
Yes. Did these one have a love line? They talk about very much.
They never really went into
focus on that.
No. Okay, let's continue.
It's probably Tony-like.
The first I thought, well, okay, they talked to Dick Clark. I'm thinking, okay, fine. Hey, it's Dick Clark. Is Flo and Kay available? And he'd be like, yeah, hang on a second, Dick. Turns out they really do talk to Dick Clark. I was like, I would like to talk to Dick Clark.
I talked to Dick Clark. It was only for a short bit of time.
Dick Clark knows them. He knows their birthdays.
He wished them happy birthday.
It's incredible.
It's unbelievable. That's the best.
It was a magical moment for Flo and Kay when, as young children, Dick Clark appeared to them for the first time on TV.
We're going in to see Dick Clark.
Okay,
and
pause
we're going
it. Dick Clark appeared to them
right.
The first time on TV.
Right.
A little dressed up, though.
Doesn't the narrator sound like he's trying to get away with something?
Yes. He appeared on TV and they saw it.
Right.
He didn't appear to them on TV.
Okay.
In the intervening years, amidst all the tragedy and upheaval of their lives, he has been the one abiding presence.
Welcome. How are you? I'm good. How are you? I can give you a hug.
Dick Clark has said he wants to meet Flo and Kay privately, without cameras present.
Hello, Carrie.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so glad you could. Hi,
Carrie.
I remember you in Orlando or Tampa. Good to see you. Thank you for coming to California.
When was the last time we talked? I just remember the last time you called the
March,
office.
Or March the 4th, this year.
March the 4th.
Yeah.
And I bet you could tell me what day of the week that was.
That was a Tuesday.
I have to get a calendar.
Was it Tuesday?
Yeah.
You know what? Come here once, though. I wanted you to say hello to someone, too.
Oh, yeah?
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Dick Clark.
How are you?
Good to see you.
How are you doing?
And they met Dick Clark again. Now, they met him a bunch in the past. He'd, of course, been the one abiding presence in their life.
The one abiding presence.
he loves them. And, yes, he communicates with them all the time, did, and, you know.
So when we heard his voice there, he wasn't on camera, though?
No. They had taken a ride, like, into his study.
So it was audio only.
Yeah. So you didn't actually get to see him. But they have a lot of pictures with him. You know, him kissing them when they were younger and all of this.
And he has passed, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I believe he did a couple years ago.
It's a really interesting watch. They did have a lot of trauma as children. Their mother tried to kill them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
How?
By sticking their heads in an oven. I mean, it's real disturbing. And the way that they were abused by the other kids at school, it's awfully sad.
Dang.
But they've come through it, and they've got this big Facebook fan page. I think I'm going to like it. I think I'm going to be a member.
Yeah, I'm on their fan page on Facebook right now.
Yeah, and they're still alive. They're still with us. 64, I think, is how old they are now. But it's worth a watch. It's an hour, and it's called the Rain Man Twins.
All right, Rain Man Twins. Rain I'm Man putting Twins. That on my list.
All right, it is 7:51.